Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Cox,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, it's me. It's AC, and welcome back to the Woodward Fail Music Speaks podcast where we fight depression with the power of music. I am neither Tony Romo nor Scooter from the Muppets. I am your professional handicapped host, James Cox.
It flowed, didn't it? Okay.
So, I did my thing.
I am commonly referred to as the loudest guy in the room, but only when I am playing the drums. I am your endless source of useless music knowledge. My name is Blake Mosley, aka Brosley, aka Emo Bemo. And who else is with us today?
There's me, Amanda Dolan. I may not know the name of the song, the artist, or the album like the other guys here, but chances are I will sing along loudly, proudly, and poorly. Just ask my kids. They'll also tell you I'm not a regular mom. I am a 90s mom.
Heck yeah.
Nice 90s mom. Heck we're all yeah. 90s children.
You guys
here.
Notice that I wore my Reptar hat today.
Reptar.
For the recording of this. I love since we're talking all about nostalgia. Yeah, man.
Right.
Right. Hopefully there's no really upsetting stories behind the Rugrats and Nickelodeon, unlike some other shows. We'll save that for a rainy day.
Hey, Brosley, I feel like you're more than Emo Beemo and Brosley because Mr. Jeffro, we got to give him a big shout out, guys. You know,
Jeffro turned you
into a few celebrities. So I think you're Brosley Cyrus now. Or Blake Cyrus.
Brosley Cyrus. You know,
it could be one of those. I don't know.
Brosley Ray Cyrus.
Brosley Ray Cyrus.
That's a good one. That's the next shirt. Okay. That's the
next shirt. I apologize because Jeff and I were texting. He was, you know, working on those. And I was like, we need Billy Ray Cyrus and Blake together.
Yeah.
So, and he came through.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So, speaking of that, we have a new shop for y'all to investigate and buy our awesome stuff. We got more stuff now than we ever did before. We have tumblers, got shirts, we got hats, got brand new hats. We got everything under the sun that you could want. So, and we have
a thing
that Jeff made us. We turned that into a shirt. I think it's Blake Linen. Is the first shirt of the Blake Enterprise. I don't know.
Are we going to have a Blake series?
Yes, we are going to have a Blake series.
Our Blake line. Yeah.
If it sells pretty good, we're going to release the next one, you know? So,
everybody go
to www.whenwordsfilmmusicspeaks. Click on your shop link, and I made it so easy. It's all right there in front of your face, so you don't have to go to any other website.
A caveman could do it.
And who doesn't want a picture? Who doesn't want a picture of Blake and John Lennon mushed together?
Who doesn't?
We had a love child. Yes, I love it. I think it's beautiful. I'm so excited.
It really is.
You got to order one, right? Are you going to order one?
I'm going to order one. Oh. Heck yeah, I'm going to order one.
Come on now.
I'm going to give everybody. I'm going to give everyone gifts. Blake Linen shirts Christmas for Christmas. Gifts. Yes, exactly.
Or Valentine's Day gift. I don't know if you want to buy
or Valentine's Day. Yeah, what a great Valentine's Day. I mean,
we might come up with
Happy Valentine's Day. Wear my face.
Yeah, that's right.
Wear my face another man's on you. Your body,
baby. All right. So what have you all been up to? Because I know today is was a total eclipse in the central hemisphere. Am I saying that wrong?
Yeah. It came right through where I live.
Texas. Yeah.
I was just outside of that 100%, full eclipse. It was weird, y'all. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the birds started making noises like it was, you know, dusk or dawn. It got dark. I sent the guys a picture of my street, like from 1:40 this afternoon. And it was, I mean, all the street lights were on. Everyone's automatic porch lights came on. It was wild. And I'm convinced that, like, people's energy is wonky. Like, just everything has been weird.
Yeah, because today I texted you all something. I'm not sure if I wanted to get that out to the group, but it was weird. You know, I don't know if I was off today or this morning but y'all calm me down and thank y'all for that. But I think it's seriously, it's in the energy that something is putting out there in the world.
And Mercury's in retrograde. Just saying.
See, there's two energies and I'm not aware. Okay. Yeah.
I know I sound all woo woo, but that's okay.
Yeah, we're all, you know,
so. I had a surprisingly okay day, and I was very productive at work. So I guess it didn't like affect me in that manner. But you know, like I feel for you guys. It's been a rough one. By the way, could y'all hear music playing just a few seconds ago?
No.
Like coming from my end. Dang it. Okay. I've got to figure out how to fix that. Cause I totally had total eclipse of the heart. Playing in the background
because I came so close to being like, I'm an eclipse mom, I'm a bright eyes mom, I'm gonna turn around. Like, I had all these, like, I was trying to figure out what I was gonna do, and then I could sing, I was trying,
man, what a missed opportunity. I had it ready to go, and it did every not, now it did and not then land. So,
yeah,
right. Just like my tacos. But yes,
and everyone still loves tacos.
Everyone still loves tacos. So even if you fall apart, you're still.
Did you hear that they made it the cinnamon crust crunch shells, taco shells?
I don't know what.
No way. Tell me more.
Yeah. You can buy them at the store. I don't know what else to tell you.
Okay, that's it. Okay, that's all I get. That's fine. Okay, that's it. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is a pro tip for those of you listening: when you eat tacos, eat your tacos over another tortilla, and then anything that falls out, you get another taco.
Beautiful.
There you go.
I love that. I love that.
That's a food hack.
I love that. Good idea. Thank you. That's your mental health minute for today.
There you go.
Properly.
How to make more tacos.
How to make your tacos last.
Because if you are a fan of The Office.
But no, I am.
Kevin has, make a new hamburger. Buy a hamburger. Take one ingredient off at the end of the week.
Oh my gosh. Hamburger.
Yeah.
That's kind of nasty. don't do that, y'all.
It's a little gross.
Okay.
I feel like we're all kind of weird. Today. I don't know what it is, y'all.
It's the eclipse. It's Mercury in retrograde.
Let's just blame the eclipse. It's fine.
It's got to be.
Just don't blame Bonnie Tyler. It has nothing to do with her. She is innocent. She didn't do anything. There we go. Bright eyes.
It's not our fault, y'all. Every now and then she comes through, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, speaking of nostalgia, right? Like what a good like segue, right? Like we're talking about the premise of this entire show that we have is all about the connection between music and your mental health. And I stumbled across some things on TikTok the other day discussing this topic that we're gonna dissect today. So here it is, the curious case of neural nostalgia. Now, Amanda, I must ask you, because you are the mental health professional of the bunch, is this something that you are already like familiar with?
Well, so there is, especially, and I'm going to speak from an ADHD brain, and what I do with that is it is a comfort thing. Like it hits your dopamine receptors when you listen to something you are really familiar with. It can be like super comforting, kind of like, you know, it wraps you in a warm blanket. You know the words, you know what to expect. So like it's easy to listen to. And especially if it brings you back to like a good time in your life, that can be really, really like healthy for your brain. So
Sure. Okay. So I'm going to ask both of you kind of before we get into this topic today, and this is kind of springing it on you a little bit. But like, if you could say like there was a certain era in your life where you felt like music just absolutely peaked, what era would you say that was? Like high school? Like, was it like, a certain spring break during, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so not the specific year?
Not specific year, just like for you specifically. What was that era? Just
time in your life, okay.
Right.
See, I would say that, it was definitely high school. I would say that it was from 95 to 90, summer of 95 to summer of 97, I think. Mm-hmm. When the Lilith Fairs were like going on and I was, going with my friends and we were driving. My friend's stepmom had a convertible, so we would drive the convertible to all the concerts and sing. And so that was like that time for me where music was just,
So I was in high school for 97 through, 96 through 99, right? That's 4 years, 96, 99 or something.
Yeah,
90s. Numbers are stupid, right?
90s.
Me and my friends always jammed to like Pearl Jam and Live and Nirvana, especially Nirvana.
Right.
I would say 96 to 99, really.
Okay.
How about you?
I got you. So I think mine is very similar to y'all's. Like high school was like us very. It can be a very stressful time. It can be a very sad time. But it always seems like there's music that we connect to during our high school years, like our adolescence, our angst, our woes, our grief, whatever it is. Like it seems like high school era for anyone is like when it feels like music just as a whole was at its peak. But for me, it's a little different. I think as far as the type of music that I was really, really into of like new music coming out. So for that era, it would be like your typical emo era of stuff, right? My Chemical Romance, whatever. Mm-hmm. That was just perfect, right? Like Blink-182 had put out a lot of really good stuff at that time too. Like my favorite album had already come out, whatever. But I think if we're going by eras of music and a decade specifically, I think that everything that was done in the 90s to me was just perfect. Whether that's punk, metal, hip hop, pop, country, all of the above, just in the 90s felt like it was just right.
Well, yes. And so much. Yes. The 90s was the best music. So, but, you know, yes. Sasha, yeah. Sasha, who we interviewed, a week and a half ago, I don't remember. It's been a minute. She was talking about how the music that you start listening to when you were like 12 or 13 was like your music, because that was the first decision that you got to make, mm-hmm. like on your own, right? Like that was the music that was your pick. It wasn't your parents. It wasn't the adults you were around. Yeah. Like you got to start listening to it on your own. And I hadn't really thought of it that way, but it makes a lot of sense that that's like that, you know, time shift where it starts to become your choice versus your parents' choice.
Right.
Hey, yo, somebody's there. Blake, who's there?
There was so my buddy Justin, who owns All Above Lawn and Landscape, and that we do the ads for. I helped him out Saturday, and yeah, he came by. I helped him out Saturday, and we did a big sod job, and it was my back and my legs are killing me. But he just dropped by and dropped something off on my car. Okay. So that's all it was. I was just waving to him from afar.
We don't have anybody to worry about, you know, breaking your nails or anything.
In this current juncture, no.
No. Okay. I don't want to say
good.
That
I'm
helping, you know. So
I'm living LIVEN, man.
Yeah, but I honestly think that Sasha was right when me and Amanda interviewed her, because I had a choice whether or not to listen to my own music, and my mom accepted it. She didn't really like it,
right?
You know, but then again, if you're told not to do something, what do? Turn around and do it.
You do it anyway. I mean, right? It's natural habit, teenage response. Yeah, like I'm gonna rebel. Nature. I'm gonna listen to it anyway. Yeah. I love it. Well, yeah. I think what's so funny, and we'll talk about this as we go on, but it was, you know, what we're going to find is like whatever generation you were a part of, your response most of the time is going to be, yeah, when I was in high school, that was when like music was the best. And there's a reason behind that. So that is what we're going to dive into a little bit today. I found this great article here off of slate.com, and it was written by Mark Joseph Stern. If you guys want to go check that out for, you know, resources or whatever, go by all means, go do that. I didn't write this. I'm not smart enough to write this, but I'll kind of skip around a few points because it's very like first person, right? So you guys ready? Let's dive into it.
Sure. No.
All right. So why do the songs that I heard when I was a teenager sound sweeter than anything I listened to as an adult? I'm happy to report that my own failures of discernment as a music critic may not be entirely to blame. In recent years, psychologists and neuroscientists have confirmed that these songs hold disproportionate power over our emotions. And researchers have uncovered evidence that suggests that our brains bind us to the music we heard as teenagers more tightly than anything we'll hear as adults. A connection that doesn't weaken as we age. Musical nostalgia, in other words, isn't just a cultural phenomenon. It's a neuronic command. And no matter how sophisticated our tastes might otherwise grow to be, our brains may stay jammed on those songs we obsessed over during the high school drama of adolescence. Right? So right off the bat, like high school, man, it's different for everyone. Therefore, yeah. Everyone's music tastes are different. There's something you connect to whenever you're in high school, whether, and let's face it, like a lot of us had a very tough high school experience, right? It seems like there's only a very small amount of people who were like, yeah, high school was great. I loved it. It was awesome. Never had a bad
day.
They're
lying. They're not telling you the truth.
They're lying.
They're lying. Exactly. Like they maybe weren't as open about it.
Unless they're like they're the football captain of the team, or they got every girl that they, you know, it's weird, but 99.9%. No, all of us hated high school.
Yeah. even those guys had tough days.
But yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's just maybe in a different way. So and to you know, understand why. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I would say a lot of our brain development, like almost as much brain development happens in our teens as does in our like very young toddler years. Right. So it makes sense that like as our brain to me, and that you may come up like this may come up because I haven't read the article all the way, but you know, that your brain's growing. And so it like imprints, like as it's developing,
right.
It becomes part of your pathways in your brain.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. It makes so much sense.
Yeah. Well, to understand why we grow attached to certain songs, it helps to start with the brain's relationship with music in general. When we first hear a song, it stimulates our auditory cortex and we convert the rhythms, melodies, and harmonies into a coherent whole. From there, our reaction to music depends on how we react with it. Sing along to a song in your head and you'll activate the premotor cortex, which helps plan and coordinate movements. Dance along and your neurons will synchronize with the beat of the music. Pay close attention to the lyrics and the instrumentation and you'll activate the
parietal.
Hey, okay. I had it at some point.
You did. And then you second guessed yourself.
I second guessed myself, and that is my problem. So your parietal cortex, which helps you shift and maintain attention to different stimuli. Listen to a song that triggers personal memories, and your prefrontal cortex, which maintains information relevant to your personal life and relationships, will spring into action. So we have all these different ways that our brain functions when we hear certain types of music, right? We have dance music, like, oh, I'm going to get up. I'm going to shake my shoulders a little bit. Might do the twist. And then you got some things that just make you flat out angry. You hear break stuff and you're like, I am going to pull a Kyle. I'm going to chug this monster and I'm going to punch a hole in the drywall because Fred Durst told me to break stuff. And then there's something.
Oh, yeah, that's how that works. That's
how it works, right? It's science, is what it is. We're talking all about the eclipse and the sun and the moon, whatever.
Kyle must be one of the
No, not necessarily. You don't know about Kyle? Have you ever heard of Kyle? Of Kyles?
No, like,
quote unquote Kyles. They're basically like, you know how we have Karens. Well, Kyles would be.
Okay.
Yeah, or Chad's. Okay, yeah. Chad's or Kyle. I like Kyle's. I like to say Kyle.
Okay.
But yes, like a Chad or whatever.
You got a name there?
No, I just, there was, so there's coming up in May in Kyle, Texas, they are trying to get the largest group of Kyles together.
Oh, no.
I just set a world record. Sorry, I just read an article about it. And then you said Kyles, and it.
That's great.
That is amazing.
Sorry.
No.
That is.
By the way, before the largest group was, I think, Ivan's. In Romania.
Ivan.
But we're going for Kyles now in Kyle, Texas.
All right. So for those of you interested,
it's 1 p.m. Saturday, May 18th. All the Kyles are gathering in Kyle, Texas.
Well, I mean, if
they fell short last year. Oh, they fell short. All right. This year, you got to eat Kyles. We need you to gather up. Go. We cannot fail Kyle, Texas yet again. We cannot do it in the name of science. Please.
But don't break stuff. Kyle's.
Don't break stuff. This isn't Woodstock 99. We're not there. No. By the way, that wasn't Fred Durst's fault. It was the Red Hot Chili Peppers' fault, and I will die on that hill.
Actually, anyway, you know what? It's
not. Are we really going to blame?
It's
Millie Vanilli's fault. We're going to blame it on the rain.
it's the promoter's fault.
Sorry. Okay. We're talking about nostalgia, and Woodstock you said blame it. Okay, but we're talking about nostalgia. You said blame it, and then immediately my brain goes blame it on the rain. And Millie Vanilli sing it, but they did. But
But it's the promoter's fault.
Again, promoter's fault. Management.
Promoters, Millie Vanilli, the coordinators, all the people.
Everybody burn stuff down, so it's really their fault. So.
Okay, all right. I will change my statement. I will say that it was the people who put on Woodstock. It was most definitely their fault. But the Red Hot Chili Peppers did not help matters whenever they started playing Jimi Hendrix. Let's do a song about setting things on fire while people are setting things on fire. That's a great idea. So anyway, don't blame Fred Durst. Live, laugh, Limp Bizkit is what I have to say.
Do they make signs like that?
No, but we're going to put it on a t-shirt.
See, that's a shred idea for us to make.
Yes. All right.
My face. I would take that over
Limp Bizkit. I'm gonna make that point.
Yeah, we need you and Fred Durst, and then
turn my hat down backwards.
Live, laugh, Limp Bizkit.
Yes.
Right. Over there. Another.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Boom! Come in out with ideas for
new shirt idea. We got it.
That's right.
Cha-ching! All right. Don't sue us. All right, so let's continue here. So, but memories are meaningless without emotion. Aside from love and drugs, nothing spurs an emotional reaction like music. Brain imaging studies, show that our favorite songs stimulate the brain's pleasure circuit, which releases an influx of dopamine, as Amanda said earlier, serotonin, oxytocin. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Oxytocin.
That's a bad thing.
And other neurochemicals that make us feel good. The more we like a song, the more we get treated to neurochemical bliss, flooding our brains with some of the same neurotransmitters that cocaine chases after. Wow. So when they say music is like a drug, literally it is like a drug.
It is like a drug. It's cocaine, really.
It is just like doing a line of cocaine. You're exactly right.
Healthier.
A little bit healthier for you. Healthier, sure.
Yeah.
I would suggest that over
Let's
the cocaine.
Let's skip with music. Let's skip the, Oxycontin and cocaine. And stick cocaine. With, like, you know, music.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about people moving weight, right?
PSA from this podcast. Music is better than cocaine. It's science.
There we go. Science.
That's another shirt idea. Music is better.
That's another shirt. Music is better than science, or it is better than cocaine. It's science. There you go. Then you can have my face with like a white lab coat. Jeff, are you working on this? Yes.
Jeff. We need.
All right, Jeff.
We need Blake.
Oh wait, no, not no, no. It needs to be Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yes, with my face.
Yes.
Perfect.
Did he already send? No, I was trying to remember what all he sent. There were a lot.
He sent us.
He's really good at AI generated imagery. So thank you, Jeff, for your contributions to science.
I can go back to the thing and hold on. Go ahead, Blake.
While you're doing that, we'll revisit all of Jeff's creativity here. Right. So music lights these sparks of neural activity in everybody, but in young people, the spark turns into a fireworks show. Between the ages of 12 and 22, our brains undergo rapid neurological development. And the music we love during that decade seems to get wired into our lobes for good. When we make neural connections to a song, we also create a strong memory that a strong memory trace that becomes laden with heightened emotion, thanks partly to a pubertal growth hormones. There's so many big words in here. These hormones tell our brains that everything is incredibly important, especially the songs that form the soundtrack to our teenage dreams and embarrassments, right? Plenty of those.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I was about to sing Teenage Dreams, and then I decided I would.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. This article was written in 2013. So there's a lot of, like, yes, like wordplay tie-ins. Right.
Like snippet. Oh my god! Yeah. I just saw this spark turns into fireworks. I just saw that was a
right. Exactly. There. That. So very clever. You got to give it to this author here. Thank you for your contributions. So on its own, these neurological pyrotechnics would be enough to imprint certain songs into our brain, but there are other elements at work that lock the last song played at your eighth grade dance into your memory pretty much for forever. Daniel Levitin, the author of This Is Your Brain on Music, The Science of a Human Obsession, notes that the music of our teenage years is fundamentally intertwined with our social lives. He says, quote, "We are discovering music on our own for the first time whenever we're young, often through our friends. We listen to the music they listen to as a badge, as a way of belonging to a certain social group. That melds the music to our sense of identity," unquote. So yeah, like if you had a clique when you were in high school, like you were the skater kid, you listened to a certain type of music. If you were a jock, you listened to a certain type of music. If you were a theater nerd, you listened to a certain type of it, whatever. Like everybody had a clique that you felt you belonged to. And then the music that was associated with that just became like your anthem in certain ways. Right.
And sometimes if you were, you know, a girl in the 90s and you liked a boy that you thought was way cooler than you, you listened to the music he liked with the hope that he would like you if you listened to the same things.
I can say just from saying, personal experience, tell us, did that work for you? Because it never worked for me. I have never besides Allie, I have ever had someone who actually like took the time to appreciate the music that I enjoyed. And I never forced it on anybody because it was always all over the place. I listened to a lot of things that people did not enjoy. And it's okay. Yeah. But I never had a girl say, "Oh yeah, you know what? I love the Misfits."
I'm not going to say like this person's name. He is like, I haven't talked to him since 1999, I think. Been a minute. But what I will tell you is that he really loved Led Zeppelin, and I had never listened to Led Zeppelin before. So quality music.
Sure.
But I think that music also, even with other relationships and friendships, like it definitely like brings us together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You find other people that you can connect with in that sense, even if it's just one other person and you guys like just share a bond. Now for me, I went to a very, very small, school. So it was hard to find other people who did enjoy the same types of music that I did. But once you did, you really did connect in a certain way that you just did. It was a different type of relationship than you had with other people. And it was through that bond of like, oh, like you really like Linkin Park, like more than just like the radio songs. That's great. Let's be friends. That was me. But I had a hard time finding anyone who enjoyed the Misfits whenever I was in high school. That was the very obscure one.
So that band was your main band that you surrounded yourself in?
Blink was my main band. Everybody liked a Blink-182 song at least, right? Like it was common. Yeah. But like the Misfits were a little bit, it was a little more
underground.
Like underground, like not as popular, like takes a little bit more getting into, you know, kind of thing. But Peter Janata, a psychologist at the University of California, Davis, agrees with the sociality theory, explaining that our favorite music, quote, gets consolidated into the especially emotional memories from our formative years, unquote. He adds that there may be another factor in play, the reminisce bump, the reminisce bump, a name for the phenomenon that we remember so much of our younger adult lives more vividly than other years. And these memories last well into our senescence. Dude, there's so many words. I'm struggling. But it looks right. According to the is that right? Anyway,
looks right. Yeah.
According to the reminiscence bump theory, we all have a culturally conditioned life script that serves in our memory as the narrative of our lives. When we look back on our past, the memories that dominate this narrative have two things in common: they're happy, and they cluster around our teens and early 20s. So why are our memories? Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just thinking there is. So Brandi Clark is one of my favorite artists, and she has an amazing song that is If Your Life is a Record. And actually, I don't maybe, but it's there'll be sad songs. There'll be, you know, happy songs. There'll be slow songs and fast songs, moving forward, moving back songs. But like, at least we had a song together. And I think that that's, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like so much of our own personal soundtrack or narrative is created then. I'm going to have to, sorry, ADHD brain. I have to look up the lyrics now. Sorry. Hang on.
It's okay.
Keep going now.
So why are our memories from these years so vibrant and enduring? Researchers at the University of Leeds proposed one enticing explanation in 2008. The years highlighted by the reminiscence bump coincide with the emergence of a stable and enduring self. The period between 12 and 22, in other words, is the time when you become you. It takes sense then that the memory, or excuse me, it makes sense then that the memories that contribute to this process become uncommonly important throughout the rest of your life. They didn't just contribute to the development of your self-image. They became part of your self-image, an integral part of your sense of self. So music plays two roles in this process. First, some songs become memories in and of themselves, so forcefully do they worm their way into memory. Many of us can vividly remember the first time we heard that that one Beatles or Backstreet Boys song that decades later we will sing at every single karaoke night. Second, these songs form the soundtrack to what we feel at the time like the most vital and momentous years of our lives. The music that plays during our first kiss, our first prom, our first toke, drugs are bad, gets attached to that memory. Drugs are bad. Okay.
Music is
gets attached. Music is better than drugs. It's better than cocaine. That's for sure.
Blame Canada. Wait, sorry.
Oh,
no,
yeah, don't blame Canada.
I got
Canada.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm so sorry about this.
That came out when I was 19. I think that movie, the South Park movie, and then I heard the drugs are bad. Music being part of like the memory is from that age, and good immediately,
Anthony Phillip.
I you know, South Park, and then blame Canada. It's all together.
Well, it all just comes back to Canada, so you're safe. Really, you're safe there.
And Katy Perry.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, or Katy Perry. You know, the best thing that ever came out of Canada was Sum 41, and I will die on that hill.
Alanis Morissette.
Okay, all right. I guess I do need to circle back. There's probably a lot of Ed Roman, Avril Lavigne,
yeah.
Chad Kroeger,
Shania Twain.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone. I take back what I said about Canada. Mm. Don't put that on a T-shirt, Jeff.
Or
we stand with Canada. You can put that on it. We stand with Canada. so we well, may recognize in retrospect that prom wasn't really all that.
prom wasn't that last
podcast ever. Both of y'all canceled us right away. No, we didn't. We can't, you know.
Canceled. Yeah.
Cancel culture.
Yeah, let's talk about prom real quick. So we may So we may recognize in retrospect that prom wasn't really all that profound, but even as the most importance, but even as the importance of memory itself fades, the emotional afterglow tagged to the music lingers. I didn't really have a prom. We had like a banquet, so it's a little bit different for me.
I didn't
like,
really go to prom.
My prom, there's some stories from that night. I'm just gonna say it this way. So growing up, we all wore fancy white dresses to our graduation, and then immediately after graduation was prom. Mm-hmm. And our senior year was the last year that they had prom after we received our diplomas, because some people that I went to school with made some decisions where at the location that prom was held at, they raided the fridge and there was some wine there and they drank said wine. And then there were no consequences for those of us that had already graduated like this, you know, because so, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Future classes at my high school.
Woof.
You did not have that same experience. Mm.
What was your class song? Do you remember? I know we talked about this before, but I don't remember what y'all said. Do you remember your league?
We didn't have one.
You didn't have one?
My school didn't do that.
Mine was vitamin C.
I went to a very like graduation. Strict. Yeah, yeah, like graduation. Yeah.
Vitamin C.
Yeah.
That's a more common history, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So our senior song was, y'all, God, I sound so. But we had like a first graders. Like you had a first grade buddy and your first graders sang you a song. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the song that they sang was Imagine.
Good song.
Wow.
So
it all comes full circle. Right.
And when there's like you, yeah, John Lennon. Yes. So yeah, that was the song that was sung to us. I don't know that we had like a song, but yeah, that was a song that a bunch of precious small children sang to me the day I graduated high school.
There you go.
Okay.
There you have it.
Yeah.
It's a good song. Yeah.
So
yeah.
And it makes me feel so old now because like these kids that I always thought of were so little, like one of them, like,
yeah,
you know, they're both married. Cause we, like I had two, I had, Jeremy and Allie, and Jeremy is married with a beautiful little baby and Allie just got married and, she is an equine vet. Like, these kids are like, I think of them as like tiny little humans still. I forget that they are well into their 30s now. But, you know, like, it doesn't feel like that when you think of them as being 6 and you are 18, right? Like it's.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out Jeremy and Allie. Love you guys. You're awesome. Still
Jeremy
in touch.
Jeremy and Allie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still in touch with them. Yeah. So yeah, awesome kids, young adults, not even young.
We didn't have a graduation song. I went to a very small, strict Christian school, so that wasn't a thing. Which is also why we didn't have a prom. We had a banquet. So we tried to make the best of it and still have like
was
the
it
prom
like very loose esque, like no dancing.
No, it was
like,
just. No. Well, yeah, no dancing. What we did, not quite like Footloose. We had a get together like at my house afterwards, where I had some music and you know we had some dancing and things like that. But we just had a banquet. You know, we dressed up fancy. Like we still did the whole thing. Like we wore tuxes and had dates and things like that. So it was like still somewhat a prom experience, just not your typical prom experience that other people have. So
let me ask you this, Blake. Yeah. What would you want to have as a graduation song if you could pick it? Because you just said you didn't.
I want I would want something that was not like played out like a lot of other graduation songs. There's a great song by a band called Head Automatica called Graduation Day that I always thought would be a great graduation song. So, and what's funny is the singer of Head Automatica is also the same singer as the from the hardcore band Glassjaw, but he did like a pop side project. Like listen to Glassjaw and then listen to Head Automatica, and you're like, all right, well, there you go. Same guy.
Dude, all right, here we go.
Yeah, I'll have to send that to you guys later so you can do your comparisons. It's pretty funny. Yes. But yeah, so that's what I would pick as a graduation song.
Okay.
If I could. Cool. Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of this article here, so let's wrap this part up. As fun as these theories may be, their logical conclusion, you'll never love another song the way that you love the music of your youth. It's a little depressing. It's not all bad news, of course. Our adult tastes aren't really weaker. They're just more mature, allowing us to appreciate complex aesthetic beauty on an intellectual level. No matter how adult we may become, however, music remains an escape hatch from our adult brains back into the raw, unalloyed passion of our youths. The nostalgia that accompanies our favorite songs isn't just a fleeting recollection of earlier times. It is a neurological wormhole that gives us a glimpse into the years when our brains leapt with joy at the music that's come to define us. Those years may have passed, but each time we hear the songs we loved, the joy they once brought surges anew. What a great way to like just summarize it all, right? Like in short, like the way that our brains develop when you hit that period between 12 and 22, the very, very formative years, that's why so many like big things happen like in your life, like during those times, right? Like the transition from teenager to adult happens during that decade. You're getting driver's licenses, you're going on dates, you're graduating high school, all these big things happen during that time. And unfortunately, that's not always like a good thing. Like my experience with that was really hard because my dad died when I was 16 years old. So it's like smack dab in the middle of very like formative years. And I had so many different ways of trying to cope with that. And music was one of the ways that helped me cope with that. So there's a lot of songs that I can go back and listen to. And I'm like, this album helped me during that time. And, I'll never be able to like, I mean, and it happens with all of us now. Like we all say like, wow, man, whatever these kids are listening to these days, music's just crap now. But to them, that is their, this is their like peak music era. Right. Like
let them enjoy. Said the same things about our music choices,
yes.
You know? Yes. But I will say that there have been, there are a few songs that have come around very either important times in my life or like with important people that still hit in a different way, right, even than some older songs. But
yes.
But yeah, I think, I don't know. I always, and I know that the title of the podcast too, right? But there are so many ways that I use music to tell people things when I can't figure out how to say the thing. I'm like, here's the song. It's how I feel.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I agree. I also think that, and I was talking with Allie about this the other day, I think one of the reasons that we tend to latch on to artists that we really loved whenever we were teenagers and like why we're willing to like give their new music a chance is because there's an emotional bond and a connection that you have because it was during that time when you discovered Taylor Swift, when you discovered Blink-182, when you discovered whoever. And even though like some of those bands kind of fall out after a couple years and you're like, hey, it's not as good as it used to be, you're still willing to give it a chance because like, this is your favorite band. This band helped me get through a very tough time. I've been a very big fan of their music for so long. They were like, they shaped my adolescence. Like they were the soundtrack to my high school years, and I'm willing to give them a chance and try to appreciate this new music that they put out. And it doesn't happen with everybody. It's just, it seems like there's only like a few bands that we're willing to give that to because our brains are done. Like our brains have formed. Like this is us. This is Blake. Right. So like new music to me doesn't appeal because I'm like, it's not as good as what I listen to, dude. Sorry. I just don't like it. Whatever. So it's crazy how the brain works.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
I did find our Jethro
crazy. Yeah, Brosley Ray. There we go. Brosley Ray Cyrus.
Brosley Ray Cyrus. I love it.
You made two of these. Okay, so this is
It's beautiful.
Close up of them.
Look at the jawline.
And then there's the other one.
Goodness this, Lord.
This is the one that Amanda told him to
Don't
do.
Don't tell my heart. My achy breaking heart. Don't. Oh my gosh, y'all, look at me knowing lyrics. I'm so sorry that those are the lyrics I know.
I'm so proud of you right now.
Yep. Stick with us and you'll be unstoppable.
Of course.
Oh yeah.
You have Blake McCartney right here.
Yeah.
And then we got
I feel like I've actually met that person before.
Yeah.
And then I have to say that this like John Mosley, and I don't know how what
Blake Lennon.
He's a very handsome man.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You know,
that hair blowing, like, I mean, he's got some like that jawline and the hair.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Heck yeah.
I mean,
No, I'm not sure how I feel about Ozzy.
That's okay. That's not that bad, but you know, I mean, I don't think that'll go on the show.
It's not.
But then
Rosie Osborne,
my favorite thing ever made, is Blake Grohl.
Blave Grohl. There you go, Blave Grohl. Yeah,
my favorite. That's my favorite one of them all. And then
I love it.
Yeah,
and then there's me.
I like them.
And then there's you, which
actually
is
me.
Part of which is the better and the best half of the.
It was,
I don't know about
yes,
that.
Yes, a fine, handsome musician, gentleman,
whatever.
All the things. Yeah, there we go.
Scholar, scientist,
even the dogs like you, Blake. Even the dogs.
Man. I mean, I'm telling y'all, like, I don't know what is happening here.
How did I just show?
It's no, I don't know. It's only one dog barking. It's the little jerky chihuahua. I love him, but oh my goodness. So,
all right.
Maybe that should be my mental health.
I love how it was muted for a split second while you yelled at the dog. It was great.
Right.
That was good.
That's great.
What you all didn't hear was like the full-on mom voice that just came out.
Shut up.
Right.
No, it was actually, hang on, I'm going to away from the microphone a little bit, but it was what?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, like a straw. Oh, okay. Okay. Get that mom voice in there. Right. Yeah.
And then
full name.
That's right. Yes,
I will full name you Fletcher Thomas and Harvey Hippo. Do not make me come out there. And
there you go. Fletcher Thomas. Okay.
All the dogs have four names.
Great name.
Okay. All
right. Yeah.
By the way, for those of you that have not heard before, Fletcher is named after Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Angela Lansbury's character. Because is a show that came out when I was in kind of this age range, maybe a little younger, but
there you go.
It's one that like
nostalgia.
I have great fond memories of.
Yeah. True that.
Yeah, I was about to be like, maybe I should do like the mental health minute about like how animals can lower your blood pressure, but I just yelled it. I'm not sure that's always true, but
right.
But
the Lord, he's raising it.
But animals are great for our mental health.
Yeah.
They really are. Until they're not. Until they are annoying.
Yeah, they bark at
things for no reason. Like, listen to him. He's like, yeah, I dare you to talk bad about me. He just did a little
at the
oh, man. I was trying to think though, like mental health, like what my mental health has not been great these last, telling you, y'all, I don't know what I'm going to do with this dog. Okay. No, I've been struggling with my mental well-being. There's been a number of different things happen, including,
sure.
A friend of mine's son committed suicide a little over a week ago. And that,
man,
that hit, you know, 16-year-old boy.
Jeez.
Just, yeah. It. Yeah. So, yeah, I've been struggling with like what to, you know, talk about. And I think that, you know, there's a million different things, but, finding your people, like leaning on people, asking for help. And sometimes, because this is where I was going to go, this dog, y'all, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. Hold on, y'all, I'm going to mute myself and yell one more time so you don't have to hear it.
We need to put like expletive, like the beeping sound effect in it. Yeah.
No, it should be like.
Wait. I got
beep. There you go.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think that a lot of us don't do is we don't tell people like, no, I can't do that right now. Or no, I don't have the ability to show up. And I know that I did that with y'all this last week. I just said like, I got to take a step back. I need to take care of myself, not feeling like I can do much for anyone else. And saying no doesn't mean that like I don't care about y'all. Like if I say I can't record, it's not because I don't love y'all. That's not it at all. Sure. Like, I love myself.
I know.
Right. And I think so. Like that is my mental health reminder for everyone, is that saying no to things and to people doesn't mean that you are bad or you're letting anyone down. In fact, quite often it can be the opposite. It actually gives someone else a chance to step up and fill that spot, give someone else an opportunity to take on a new role or, you know, but also like take care of your brain. Sometimes it's okay to just say no. Remember?
Yeah.
That's just what they said.
Say no to crack, cocaine, but say yes.
But say yes to music.
Yes. Say yes to music.
So just say no. There we go.
Yeah.
Science.
And it seemed like
it's science.
It's science.
Weird. I love science. That. I love that. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
So yeah,
and coming from someone who doesn't tell people no, yes, I wholeheartedly agree. That is something that I have been trying to do a lot more of lately, and I'm getting there.
So here is why I think sometimes we struggle, and how I can make it easier for you to say no. Okay, this is what I talk to clients about, is we feel like when we say no, like we're letting someone down. But if you can figure out why saying no aligns with what you believe in and what matters the most to you. So like if you value your family and that's what's really important to you, and saying no to something means you get to spend more time with your family, then you can let go of the guilt of saying no because you are standing in your values and taking care of your family. So saying no is not a bad thing. Now, like, you know, there are things that you shouldn't say no to, like, I don't know, eating. You need to eat.
Sure.
Sleep. But most of the time, on
what you eat, because I don't like pickles.
Yeah,
I say no to pickles all the time. So.
Well, that's true. Like, I mean, if you're like allergic to peanuts, don't eat peanuts. You know,
yes, please say no to peanuts if you have a peanut allergy. Please, God.
But
say no. Yeah.
Like, say no. Sometimes it's okay. Yeah. There are very, very few things in this world that you have to do, truly.
Yeah.
And so if it's not making you feel good, then say no.
There you go.
And know that the people that really love you and care about you are not going to be angry or run away, or, you know, if they love you, they'll get it. If you say like, I've got a lot on my plate and I just can't do whatever that thing is. And the other thing that I will remind people is no is a complete sentence. You don't owe anyone an explanation either.
That's something I got to relearn, you know?
Yeah.
And if you say no to someone and they keep, but why? Do you, are they someone you really want to like I don't know.
They go in the fridge. I was going to say the other word, but no. Go in the fridge and
that's good. That was a good save. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Go find the pickles. Yeah.
Do you really don't like pickles?
I don't. No, I like fried pickles, which is weird.
No, it's not weird. Ketchup. I get it.
I like ketchup, but I don't like tomatoes.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yeah. Berry.
I like pickles. I like fried pickles. I like pickles fried on pickle a sandwich, but I would never eat a pickle just by itself.
It depends on where the fried pickles come from, though. You know, not everybody makes good fried, you know? Yeah.
True. I don't know. I eat lots of pickles. And you know what's really good? Pickled okra.
Okra's good now.
Pickled okra is spectacular.
Heck yeah.
I also have some pickled asparagus, some pickled corn. But no, I have like a jar of pickles. Most of you all can't see me, but I think it's a gallon sized jar of pickles.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. That I love. I love pickles.
I just can't. Yeah. Imagine anybody liking.
I mean, they're sour, vinegary, sugary cucumbers. Like, how do you not like that?
You like cucumbers?
Love cucumbers.
Oh my god!
I don't. I don't. English cucumbers. I'm okay with. Like, they taste different to me, but like regular cucumbers, I'm not a fan.
So growing up in Louisville, there's in Kentucky, there's this thing called a spread called Benedictine spread, kind of like the monks, but it's not. So it's basically just cucumbers, but you like have to blend the cucumbers up and then like squeeze all the water out. So you're just left with like the flavor of the cucumber and you mix that with cream cheese and that's basically it. And then you make sandwiches with the spread. So it's essentially a cucumber sandwich. But you just don't have the chew as much.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Basically. Yeah. So it's and most of it that you would buy in the grocery store, they would dye green. And I'm like, when I say green, I mean it was like green.
Green. Like the color of this bad boy right here.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. It was not pretty. But my aunt who lived a few hours away, whenever she would come visit, she would bring a cooler. And she would go to the store and she would buy as much of it as she could and took it home with her. It was wild.
Mm.
So yeah, cucumbers. We love cucumbers around here.
Well,
and that's
for
anybody
who likes cucumbers, you can like them and listen to music. And
there you
I don't hear pressure anymore. Is he okay? Is he better?
I think he went outside, I'm hoping, anyway.
Because I was going to say, if he doesn't like high-pitched voices, you can always go...
Hey, Fletcher, stop it.
The frequencies, yes. Because it's science, the frequencies mess with, anyway.
Yes, science.
I'm gonna love this.
Hello.
That's great.
But yeah, you know what it is. I got a little cool little
funny. Thing.
Yeah.
So,
it's got all kind of experimental things over there.
Yeah. And we need to
keep you there. He just, did y'all hear him? He was like,
one more time.
Yeah.
Oh. And now that,
you were talking about me, huh?
Right. I'll show you guys.
Yes. Okay. That is exactly what it is. Okay. Besides science and music, do y'all have anything else?
I think that's it. Thank you, Amanda, for such great mental health minute.
I've been ordering a lot of music. I've gotten too many vinyls. I need to chill out.
Oh, you can never have too many.
I actually have a friend that has over 1,000, close to 1,000 vinyls right now. I'm like, where do you put them all? He's like, I don't know.
I mean, they're only, you know.
Anyway, yeah, but I mean, this can overflow the house really, really quickly if you're not careful.
I've been decluttering our home, and so I love books, and so I have let go of a lot of books recently. And by a lot, I think that between myself and my children, I think that, since COVID hit and today, I think we've probably removed about 1,000 books from our home.
Oh, geez.
It's a problem.
Wow.
The thing is that I don't read a book a second time typically, but I like.
You need a Kindle.
Yeah.
It's not the same as a book.
It's not the same. She's right.
All right, listen. Allie said that. She was like, I don't know if I'll enjoy that. Now she reads three books.
Loves it, right? Yeah.
She uses it all the time.
I have moved to audiobooks because.
Yes.
I know, y'all. I feel like I'm always like my ADHD, but my ADHD and like the way my brain works, I'm figuring this out that I enjoy books more and I can pay attention to them without having to reread the same page 87 times if I'm listening to it.
And it's always more interesting it being read to you than you would read it by yourself. With me, I like to somebody have it read to me instead of, you know, reading it myself.
Oh, yeah.
Because I read the page over and over and over. So, yeah.
The other thing that's great about audiobooks is that you can speed them up. And my brain needs things faster. So this is the book that I'm reading right now. It's called The Fiancé. It's by Kate White. But here. Darn it. I think it just switched to my head. Yeah.
Okay.
Four.
It was like, yeah.
Four.
It happens.
Here we go.
Instead of trying to focus on my play any longer, I decide to head outside now and come back to it later in the day when my mind is clear. I collect my hiking boots and lace them up, then leave the cottage.
Okay.
Is that really fast? All right.
Yeah.
You know, that's only a 1.5 speed. Usually I listen at 1.75.
You know, for anybody who writes audiobooks like Amanda and me, there's a great musician book called Heavy Metal Memoirs by Dave Mustaine. Great book. Everybody should, you know, it tells about his Metallica days up to now. Well, not now, because it's been written years ago. But that's a great musician audiobook that you'll get. Heavy Metal Memoirs by Dave Mustaine. So
yeah, but books and music. I like to listen to things when I'm doing other things because it keeps my brain from thinking about things that I don't always want to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, it can quiet things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything else? Are we done here?
Yeah.
I'm good. I feel like I have tapped back into my childhood, and I am. I got that dopamine hit, and I'm going to go listen to some Backstreet Boys whenever we're done.
Backstreet's back. All right.
But why not NSYNC with some Jay-Z Chazé?
Listen, man, NSYNC's okay. Like, we just watched the new Trolls movie where they had the NSYNC reunion. It was cool. But
you know what?
BSB, till the day I die.
But you know what? In a few weeks, it's going to be May. No, sorry. You know, forever will make me giggle. All right.
With my ramen noodle here.
Let's not go back to that.
Got him.
Well, with that, thanks for listening to the show today. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you can.
Heck yeah. And if you'd like to follow the show on the social medias, because that's the thing, you know, because of the day and age we live in, and not whenever we were in high school. MySpace, take that back. God. MySpace was big when I was in high school.
Oh, no, I had
that. We're not on MySpace, maybe one day, but we are on Facebook, X, or formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, and the TikToks. Just search for When Words Fail Music Speaks podcast and give us a follow.
And would you like to be interviewed on the show? If you're a musician, please reach out to us at James@WhenWordsFailMusicSpeaks.com. Amanda Dolan, Dolin at WhenWordsFailMusicSpeaks.com, or Blake at WhenWordsFailMusicSpeaks.com, or you can message us on any other social sites mentioned before.
And please subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can watch interviews, music video reactions, vinyl showcases, and more. You can find us at youtube.com/whenwordsfailmusicspeaks. Be sure to turn on the notification bell so you can be notified when new videos are uploaded. And if you are currently watching this on YouTube, Blake, I'm disappointed that you have not updated this belly flop.
I know. I was supposed to do like a sound effect or something. I don't know. Just imagine a large man climbing to the top of a, like he said, the big Olympic-sized swimming pools. Yeah, like he's going to do the diving thing, just large, the biggest guy you can think of. And he just belly flops.
And then it just splashes everyone around the pool. And just
monsoon, right? Just everyone's drenched, right? Kids are screaming. Ah! Anyway,
and then yes, that's when what it's we all need said and done, there's no water left in the pool.
None gone. And then Tony Hawk shows up and then he starts skateboarding in the pool and he's doing, yes, he's doing the 900. And then Goldfinger shows up and they're like, and they start singing the Superman song and everybody's doing things. All right, Jeff, I need you to recreate that in an AI image. So we can also, I need Jeff. So once again, so that way you don't have to back it up. I need you to create an image of a man, a large man, belly flopping into a pool. He then, the water is out of the pool. Kids are screaming. The pool is empty. Tony Hawk comes in. Goldfinger shows up. They start playing. He can because he's amazing. Thank you, Jeff.
He could do anything. That man is a miracle.
Right, exactly. He can do it. He can do it.
Like different pictures or something. Maybe
I have full faith in Jeff. Jeff, I'm counting on you, buddy. Anyway, sorry. Where were we? Okay. Oh, my turn
now. Belly flop that like button. Turn. Okay. Belly flop
it. All right.
Belly flop it. Yeah. Until for Tony Hawk comes and meets Blake and he'll be wrestling for life.
You're welcome.
For all of you links to find out more about us or to buy some of our merchandise on our brand new shop zone, just go to whenwordsfailmusicspeaks.com. Tap on the little shop tab at the top of the screen, and it's all right there for you to buy.
You got the hat? You got the hat? We'll show them the hat. Show them the hat.
It's really cool. Orange.
That's cool, man.
Blue and pink. Those are the only three
colors. Heck yeah.
That's offered right now. But yes, check it out.
Heck yeah. Awesome. If you don't mind checking out my other podcast, it is called South Carolina Spook Show. It's all about true crime and paranormal stories from the state of South Carolina. Got a new episode in the works. Hopefully this week we'll have that up. And I finally did it. I managed to sit down and interview my brother-in-law about his Ouija board experience. And it is so eerie and creepy, and I can't wait for you guys to hear that. So go check it out, give it a follow, and stay tuned.
And I have a new episode of the Immense Society coming out. It's all about me talking about, guess what, my ADHD. But it's actually great because it will help you understand the way my brain works a little bit more. It's just me, some rambling. My friend was laughing when I sent it to her because she was like, this is great. Because you're like, I don't know how to wrap this up. My brain just keep going. And it's hilarious, quite frankly. And I'm about to also finish up one about the Adderall medication shortage that has been happening since October of 2022, which is a problem for people like me that need that. And but you'll also reach out to me if you want to share your mental health story. I would love to just have a, chit chat with you and, learn more about our listeners too here and how, your mental health impacts your everyday life. So you can check that out. Easiest way is just to go to thementalsociety.com and you can find all the links for everything there.
Nice. Awesome. There's no spooky stuff over there as like we have.
No.
No.
Very different. You come to me for the spooky stuff. You go to her for all the nice pleasantries. I will tell you about murder and aliens and ghosts.
And I will tell you about brains.
Your brain. I tell you about brains, like being consumed by zombies. brain works. And you brain works. Tell us how the brain works so that the zombies understand what they are consuming, yes. Because you have to know your food.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Know where it can, yeah. Make sure it's all healthy. Right.
Wait a minute. Quality. You got to know your food. Is that what you said?
Know your food, man. Yeah. That's what you got to do, buddy.
Know where it came from.
Know what you're putting into your body. Yeah, man.
I don't like pickles.
What you're consuming.
Okay, so.
James knows he hates pickles.
Darn right. So, thanks again to our sponsors for this episode, Bones Coffee and BetterHelp.com. Remember to use our discount code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order at BonesCoffee.com. They got great flavors. Blake and I love it. I'm not sure if Amanda is embodied yet. Have you?
No, yeah, I have. But I also saw that they have, now they have stuff like lattes at Walmart.
Yes, yes.
Wow. No, don't get them from there. Like, I don't know if they have them on the website. I haven't looked. But
they do, right.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw a commercial and I was like, they have like pre-made lattes. All you have to do is like throw it in the fridge, make it cold, and then bam, you've got it like an iced latte ready to go. So
why is my screen giving you the thumbs up, y'all? I don't understand.
I just figured it was you telling us that we're doing such a great job.
Maybe it's a ghost in my house. I don't know.
It's a ghost. You are in South Carolina. It all. Right.
And also, always go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month on therapy, and to get matched with a therapist that is perfect for you. So
there it is. All right. BetterHelp.com. Boom.
Anything else? Y'all?
Yeah,
I'm good.
No, we're good. All right. So, thanks again, everybody, for listening. And always remember,
when words fail,
music speaks.
Bye, guys.
Backstreet's back.
Bye.
All right.
Backstreet's back. All right.
All right.